All righty. Daniel, book of Daniel. Are we there? Is everybody there? Book of Daniel. Raise your hand.
Daniel.
Yep.
Yo, I need a new Bible
case. All right, Daniel, chapter 1. We're reading the whole entire chapter, okay? So for the next several weeks, we're going to be doing like a small back-to-school series, just preparing ourselves for back-to-school. We're coming off the highs of camp. We all, we were riding that spiritual high. We were trying to keep it going over the last week or so. We've been talking about that. We're coming off the week of VBA, where we got to see how David, that even though he was walking through darkness and all the bad things that were happening to him, that he stayed in fellowship with the Lord and the Lord with him, even though he was going through troubling times. And when we go back to school, we're back. You know, we're back in the world. School people are going to try to change us, change who we are, or what we believe, or how we act, or we're going to try to change ourselves in order to fit in. Whether that be like the friend group that we want to be a part of, the sport that we're trying to try out for, whatever activity it is. So Daniel chapter 1, okay? We're going to read the entire chapter. We're going to popcorn read. We'll start with Jacob, and we'll just work through, all right? It's 21 verses. Huh?
Oh, grab a Bible.
Yeah, I prefer if you use that. Here, all right?
Wait, did you give out the answer to the Bible?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't.
Daniel.
You didn't get one? You brought your Bible?
Yeah.
There's the church book.
What page? It's got the...
There's the script.
Blue book. What page are we on in the church Bible? All right, book of Daniel, Jacob, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go. Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Okay. Cameron, 2.
And the Lord gave Jehoiakim.
Jehoiakim, yep.
King of Judah into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of God, and he brought the vessels into the judgment of the
house of God.
Keep going. Lincoln?
Hold on.
No, we don't have time. Keep going. 3.
And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes.
Tristan?
Children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the
Chaldeans.
And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that
Azariah. Eunuchs. Belshazzar, Hananiah, Abednego, yep. Meredith. And I'm going to read from there. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat a portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and of the wine, and they should drink, and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manner matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. All right, chapter starts. What happens? Nebuchadnezzar does what? Go ahead.
He takes over,
all right? He's the king of what country, or what, like, territory? Babylon, yes. He's the Babylonian king, all right? And then in verses 6 and 7, it tells us, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gives names, for he unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and Hananiah Shadrach, and of Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Alright? So what happened? What did he do? To Daniel, to Hananiah, to Azariah, and to Mishael. No, he gave him new names. Why would somebody give somebody a new name? Like, what's the point of giving somebody a new name? Why would you give somebody, like, if I changed your name to Tristan, you know, or if I decided to change my name, what would be the purpose of that?
New identity.
New identity, yes. And the same thing can happen to us, right? As we go back to school, if we allow ourselves to start hanging out with, like, the wrong crowd, or if we try to fit in over here or over there, like, we start to change our identity. If we hear somebody call us, you know, dumb enough, we might start to think that we're dumb. If somebody calls us funny enough, we might start to think we're actually funny. When people say something about us enough, or we start living our life in a certain way so long, we start to change who we really are. Like, we start to change our identity. And we have to remember that as Christians, as born-again believers, our identity is in Christ, all right? And we don't have to allow the world to change us. We just have to walk like the way we know we should be walking, you know? Like, we go into it knowing, like, who you are as a Christian, what kind of person you are, and then the world won't try to change your views or your beliefs. Now, let's look at verses 8 and see how they were, like, they tried to change their name. And in verse 8, it tells us how Daniel responds to that. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. Okay? They're trying to change him. They're changing their names, and then the king wants these children, these servants of his, to eat food that he gives them, wine that he gives them. And Daniel knew, like, beforehand, like, that he was going to be tempted. He knew that the king was going to try to tempt him. So he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he wouldn't change his identity, that he wouldn't change who he was with the king's meat. So he asks the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And he says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So you guys are about to go to school. You're what? How many weeks do you guys got? Some of you 3 or 4 weeks, maybe less than a month. All right. We're about to go to school. All right, we get to walk through the doors of school,
dropped out.
For some of us, like, this is our first year in middle school. For some of us, this is our last year. We have a decision that we can make before we even get in the door. Like Daniel, we can purpose in our hearts to just not let our decisions and the things that we do be swayed by the people that we're going to encounter. Some of you, I get it, Tristan, Jason, you guys are homeschooled, but you guys go to 4-H and stuff. You do other things, right? Now, the same can be said. You guys get to choose. I mean, heck, even just coming out here to the youth, you guys can purpose in your heart knowing, like, who you guys are before you even go into that situation, whatever it is. We're using school, for example, because that's what we're all getting ready and preparing to go back to. But it could be anything. The sports team that you're about to join, if you're in a club league, if you go to 4-H, whatever it is that you're doing. If you purpose in your heart to stay true to the Lord, like we saw all week with David, then we're not going to be swayed by the people that are around us. It doesn't mean that we have to be mean to people for their opinions, their beliefs. It doesn't mean that we don't have to talk to them ever again. You know, if you hear somebody gossiping, don't be a part of it. See somebody cheating, you know, just stay away from them. Whatever it is that you know you shouldn't be doing, that you may be tempted to do, like Daniel, he knew we just have to purpose in our hearts that before we walk through the doors of the school, that we're not going to let ourselves be partakers of the things that are going on there. Alright? So Daniel tells the prince of the eunuchs, he's like, I don't want to defile myself. I do not want to partake of the meat of the king. You know, I'm afraid of what it might do to me. And he tells this to the prince of the eunuchs, alright? And it says that, and Daniel says, listen, like, prove us. He says to Melzar, this is the guard over him, you know. He's like, Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest deal with thy servants. So he consented. Malzar's like, all right, dude, whatever. I'm gonna consent. I'm gonna prove you. I give you 10 days. Eat this, and see how you guys look after 10 days. All right. And let's see what happens. We're gonna read verses 15 through 20 real quick. I'm gonna stop through. We're gonna see what happens to them for this decision. At the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine, and that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and all in wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. All right, they got proved, they're coming in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. All right. So what did God do to them? Like, they obeyed him. So what did God do to them? Blessed them. He rewarded them for their obedience, okay? And it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom. God made them smarter and wiser than anyone else. And when they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, he found them to be like no one else. And when the king asked them important questions pertaining to matters of the kingdom, he found them wiser than the people that he found to be the wisest, the magicians and the astrologers. Lincoln, Cameron, stop. He found him to be better than anybody else in his whole realm. That's like a pretty high regard to be held in, right? I mean, they kidnapped his kids, and then now they're sitting before the king, and he's asking them questions pertaining to their realm. And in verse 21, it says, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So what does it show you? Like, what does all of this show you? Like, the last verse, it says, and Daniel continued even unto the year of King Cyrus. All right? God found them in favor for their obedience. He blessed them with wisdom, and they continued. What did he not do? God didn't take them out of their situation. Like, they were still in Babylon. They were still servants to the king, you know? Like, they were obedient, but God didn't take them out of the situation that they were in. They were still, you know, in captivity in Babylon. But God used their situation, you know, and he gave them strength in that. That's applicational to us in that, like, when we're walking in the Lord, when we are doing things that we know we should be doing, being the Christians that we know we should be, when the other kids are calling us a Bible thumper or whatever they may call you because of your beliefs or the way you act because you're different than them. You're not cussing like everybody else. Or you're not acting a fool when everybody else is acting a fool. When kids start to bully somebody else, you either stand up for them, you just walk away from that situation altogether. Then God gives us the strength, you know, when we're obedient to staying children of Christ, He's going to give us the strength to handle whatever school, 4-H, whatever our sports team, whatever they throw at us. God's going to give us the strength to handle that. It doesn't mean He's going to take us out of the situation. You know, God's not going to remove you from school. You have to do it. But He is going to give you the strength to be able to navigate everything that school is going to throw at you. As long as we honor Him and find our identity in Him, He's going to help us to live faithfully in whatever situation He puts us in. So, Daniel and his friends, they're able to have influence on the king and the people that were around them. Why do you think that was? Why do you think they had influence? The kids that are really smart, but they're like, if they're really smart, like there's other people that are really smart. You know what's so different? They're just different smart, right? They're different. Like the king and all of them can tell that they're different. In verse 8, it says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. All right, it says Daniel, and he's with who is his buddies? He's got Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All right, you're in a situation with your friends. You see a group of people acting a fool. Your buddies are with you. They see that. You decide, I'm not going to partake of that. Before, you know, you're like, I'm just not even going to do that. Do you think that that gives courage to your friends? Right? Like, if they're probably feeling the same way. They see some people doing some things that they're not supposed to be doing or whatever. And when you stand up or stand firm on what you believe in, like Daniel did, it probably gave courage to his friends to say the same. Like, I'm not going to do that either. I'm not going to partake of the meats either. I'm not going to partake of the Lord's wine. So it was easier for them to stand up for what they believed in because Daniel was willing to stand up for what he is. So his influence on his friends. And then the fact that in verse 9 it says, God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs is in charge of all these kids and feeding them and making sure that they look good when they come before King Nebuchadnezzar. If they don't look good, he says, and prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear for the Lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Like, the king gave you these things, and I'm afraid that if you don't eat the meat that he gives you and the wine that he gives you, and you look bad before you go, when you go before him, that then you shall make me endanger my head to the king. So if they don't look good, if this guy doesn't trust what Daniel's saying to him, if he doesn't have favor in Daniel, and they look bad when they go before King Nebuchadnezzar, he could die. They have influence. He sees that something's different about Daniel, and he's like, all right, like, I'm going to trust that you're saying what you're saying. Same with the guard. It says Melzar. Daniel pleaded with him. He's like, listen, give us wholesome water. See what happens. Just give me an opportunity. They had influence over these people. They stood up Daniel. They could tell he was different. He stood up for what he believed in. Eventually, that led to them having influence over King Nebuchadnezzar. Like, they were able to use their position, their smartness, the things that they had, the fact that they were different to influence people or influence King Nebuchadnezzar. What was their role in the kingdom when they started in Babylon? Like, what happened, right? King Nebuchadnezzar takes Israel into captivity. And what is their role? These four. They're what? Servants. They're servants, all right? Slaves. But because of their identity in Christ, who did they end up... Like, where did they end up standing? What was their position at the end of the chapter? Where were they? Like, what was their position? Not where we're in chapter 1. What was their position? Go ahead.
Basically, an advisor.
They were an advisor to the king. Captured as servants, like, low man on the totem pole. All right? They stood fast in what they believed in. Daniel purposed, before he even went into the situation, that he wasn't going to change who he was. And because of that, because they were different, they ended up standing before the king. We don't have to wait until we're popular. You don't have to wait when you're at school. like until you're popular. Like I want to wait until everybody knows that I'm cool before I start to act like a Christian. Or you don't have to wait until like you get into a certain friend group. You don't have to wait until like these people accept you to start acting like you know you should be acting. I don't want to wait until I get on the football team before I start acting like a Christian. Start acting like I know I should act. Daniel did so before he even got into that situation. Like he knew before he was going to be tempted, just like all of us. We know what school is like. We know how kids act. We know today, before we even get to school in several weeks, that how people are going to act. We can make a decision now. We can purpose in our hearts right now, like to, that we're just, I'm not going to let school define who I am as a person. My identity is in Christ, and I'm going to stay true to that. Just like Daniel did. We can allow our identity to be in Christ first, and then allow the fact that we're different, that we're not like everybody else. We don't act a fool. We don't cuss. We just are different. Allow the fact that we are, they can just see that we're set apart from everybody else for them to decide to be our friend. And then you're going to have better friends for it. It's going to make it easier for you to walk as a Christian in the world when you have people that are friends with you because of your identity in Christ, as opposed to the fact that you're just trying to be someone that fits in. It's going to be easier for you to be yourself and not try to act a way that you know you shouldn't be acting. It's probably really hard for somebody that goes to school and cusses around all of their buddies or acts a fool and does things that they know their parents wouldn't allow them to do, and then just to come home in the afternoon and shut it off. And then it also makes it very hard for you when you go to school and you have your friends that you act this way around, and then they invite you. You want to invite them over. You want to have them over for a sleepover. But you know that my parents are not, this person might cuss in front of my parents, and I cannot have that happen, or my parents are going to think that I do that. You know that. You have that in the back of your head, so you don't want to invite that person over. So you can't really be a good friend. And then your parents are going to see, eventually, it will come out, like that this person's probably not a good influence for you. And then they're not going to let you go to their house. They're never going to let you go to that person's house. It's like, listen, I see that kid cussing. I hear he's in detention all the time. You're not going to be able to enjoy your friendship with that person because you're trying to be somebody that you're not. So if we purpose, before we even go to school, to keep our identity in Christ, to be a Christian, to walk how we know we should be walking, then we don't have to worry every day about the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, especially before our parents. We can have a relationship with someone. Allow your relationship with Jesus to influence your relationship with school. Don't allow the people that you're like hanging out with influence you. That's pretty much the gist of what I have for today. All right. Now, how do you have a relationship with God if you're not spending time in the Word? I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, make sure that we're reading our Bible. You guys have a whole month, basically, to prepare for school. Some of you maybe less, but you have a whole month. Some of you are already in it, but you have time to prepare before you even walk through the doors. Now, you can purpose in your heart that you're not going to be different this year. You're not going to act a certain way. You can start reading your Bible now, so that you're equipped for when the time comes, when you walk through the doors, that you just know that you can be different. Who was our speaker? Is it Mason? Was it last year?
Seth.
I know Seth was our speaker this year. Was it Corey last year? That yeah. How many were at camp last year?
Me.
You guys remember Corey talking about his first day of school?
That was not Corey.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It was Corey. What did he do on the first day of school that most of us probably wouldn't do? You're good. Hold on. Let's look at the pictures after. It was Corey Cameron. You're right. What did he do? Go ahead.
He brought his Bible to school.
Right, how many of you would do that? I know you. He's like, you probably wake up with that. It's okay, huh?
I have Christian classes.
You have to because you have Christian classes. Yes. All right. But what? Go ahead. You have to as well?
Yes.
Do you?
You think?
Cameron.
You go to a public school, but you take your Bible with you. Would all of us do that? I know when I went to school, I probably wouldn't have done that, all right? But, Corey, like, are we going to be bold enough when we go to school on day one to, like, think about it? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but are you going to be bold enough to do that? Would you walk into a situation where you know that there are people that don't believe the same things that you believe with your Bible, knowing that they're probably going to mock you, make fun of you, say things about you, you know? Are you going to stand fast in what you believe in before you even go into that situation? You have a whole month to prepare and think about that question. Like, will you, would you be willing to do that thing? This one, I got a blank paper of notes. All right. I pray that, I really do pray that this year, you know, that we can all get the most out of school. Like, I pray that we have a great school year, we make lots of friends, but more importantly, I pray that, the relationships that we make at school are not relationships founded on who we think we want to be, but, the fact that we identify with who we are as Christians. Like, that we identify with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get after it. Actually...